applied to the request that we get to finish African Possible. They promised that this morning they will attend to something that they want to hear. That's how it's supposed to happen. And it looks like things are not going well. So we have PMG that normally assist us with the recording. I'm not sure whether they'll be here. Are you here for the duration of this?
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you. And otherwise, while waiting for members, I think we should just continue. They'll come as and when. The wish is not to respond. I tried to be short to respond. Okay. I'm not sure whether you're coming or not. But today we have, unfortunately, with our visit, we tried last night. It was already late because I was still consulting with our, the whole afternoon with our leadership here in Parliament. By the time they came back to me, it was already late and the IDC was already here. We tried to postpone, but we couldn't postpone because IDC was already in Cape Town. And as people who really make sure that there's no wastage in terms of resources of government, we wouldn't allow them to just return without, you know, having the opportunity to interact with them. IDC, we all know who they are. They are meant to promote entrepreneurship through creation of competitive industry. That's, of course, all that is towards the development of the country and Africa. That's the continent. So we are considering their annual report and their financial, audited financial statements. Statement for the year 2014-2015 financial year. We have received their annual report, which is quite integrated for the year. And we hope that we manage to get through, to go through it, and we would then be required to interact with it. Because early last year they did present their strategic plan to us and their annual performance plan. And we are going to then test that whether they have really managed to meet their targets or whether they have any challenges and what are the other things that they intend to do going forward to close the gaps that are there. We have here the CEO of IDC, Mr. Kina, with his delegation. We are going to give them the opportunity to do so and to continue. But before that, I want to thank members of the committee really for sending in for me last week to run a referendum. And I want to thank those who managed to be at the funeral, Mr. Tiani, and people and others. Thank you. And the messages, I just gave the messages of support. Thank you very much. And I hope from the department side, thank the minister and the deputy minister for this. Thank you. May we then hand over to the CEO for the presentation of the report and introduction, because I think we've seen new faces here. Maybe I need to do the same on my front. My name is Matulara Coleman, the chairperson of the committee, and we have four members. The one coming in is the whip of the committee, Mr. Tere. Next to him is Mr. Bignini. Next to him is Mr. Tiani. And then we have Dr. Karu. other members will just come in and will introduce them as they come in. Over to the Deponer.
Chair, good morning and good morning to the members. Thank you for accommodating us. I appreciate. I know it's not easy when the support staff is not there. We experience a similar thing at Fosco. One of our subsidiaries on strike, so it always makes it challenging to make sure that you perform your duties. But we still appreciate affording us the opportunity to come and present. Chair, I will introduce the team now. But the environment in which we're presenting this result has been a very challenging one, not only in South Africa, but globally. And we are seeing this continuing. The results, we had made commitments last time, and I think we've, to a great extent, been able to achieve those. Not exactly to the levels, but there are still elements which we've fallen short. You'll see when we talk about this in the numbers. But the situation has not improved. And I think the year that you are in, which we're going to report, is going to be more tougher. We've seen a number of our investments, be it in the mining sector. I think the steel industry has been widely spoken about. But some aspects of manufacturing, the inputs in some of those steel industries have been finding very, very difficult. We've seen in the developing countries how the currency has come under tremendous pressure. We've seen, although it works both ways, the oil price is good for the import inputs, but for those that are chemical producing companies, it has put in a strain. I mean, company like Sasol for us is actually feeling it. So I'm saying, while I'm using this opportunity to say, next time I come and present next year around this time, it's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, you see the numbers now, they come. I give you a sense, there's a company called Impala, which is platinum, so number of platinum companies are finding it very, very difficult. Platinum prices. Which is why we have to continually find other issues of platinum. We will share with you some of the interventions we are doing. But it's not at the level where it should be. So, but having put that, sorry, for this year, which we're reporting, I think it's fairly well compared to the other years. But I'm just saying, I'm just so that when I come and share, this is not an excuse in advance, but it's just to say we're having heading for tough time. As a DFI, we need to respond. So that's why we're in existence, and we will do our utmost best. Chair, I brought a new team, not a new team. They've been at IDC, some of them have been at IDC for a while, but some of them have recently joined. I've always appreciated this opportunity we've been given here to also expose the IDC team, because they're thinking of the portfolio committee that provides oversight. So that when I go back and I say we need to do more, we need to intervene, we need to be responsive, it has been an interesting time. So that's why we try and rotate the team. I think this team is predominantly new to the committee, except for Ashraf Dinda, who has been here before. He will take us through the numbers. He's the financial manager. He's been in IDC for a number of years. In fact, if there's errors in this financial report, we can blame him, because he crushes the numbers. We went on a road show, so today we road show to raise a fund to issue a bond. So today is being second. So the chief financial officer is making sure that we're getting all the numbers, and hence she's not here. So Ashraf Dinda, the head of financial manager, management, is so he'll do that. And then the lady with a white glasses, cream, okay, she says cream is not white, cream top, her name is Zama Lutuli, she's our executive, for corporate affairs and marketing, she's about 3 months at the IDC, I think, oh, she's 5 months, okay, I thought it feels like 3 or 5 months, and then next to her is Nontokozo Adebe. Nontokozo is our head of strategy. Chair, you would call when normally I would come. I would come with David Jones, who's the executive, but she does all the work. That's Lindobaso. And Lahija with the Lord, she does the work. And then next to me here is, as you would call, Chair, we have representations in all regions. So here in the Western Cape, we also have an office. Just behind me is Lisa Mtogo, who is the regional manager of the Western Cape. I'm sure that the committee members have seen him a couple of times. The lady next to me here, young lady next to me here, is Bulumko Kovuza. She's our intern at the regional office. We do this chair where we take a couple of interns to expose them. I mean, as they come from their tertiary institutions, in terms of what they're finances, hopefully they will gain some experience. And she's our regional officer in the Western Cape. She's assisting. I mean, in the region. Yeah, so she's getting exposed in a couple of areas as part of the intern. Hopefully she'll be a deal maker one day, and then she can approve and then respond to the application that we find. So I think, but she's in safe hands with Lisa, who's got the numerous years of experience. And then next to Lisa, just behind Bulumko, is our executive in charge of agro processing, new industries, I'll explain a little bit, and infrastructure. Her name is Kumo Moron. She is just almost 2 years now, Kumo. Almost 2 years with the IDC. She's in the, we call it the front office, or she's an executive in the front office in terms of development. So when we refer to funding, which has been our largest growth in the renewable, for an example, over the last 4 years, just about 4 years, we've approved about 14 billion in there. So that will be in her space when we talk about agro processing. So it will also be a unit in her space. When we talk about new industries in there will be venture capital. It's our attempt really to try and find those new groundbreaking technologies and industries that can hopefully change in South Africa. So she also has those three visions. That's Kumo Morolo. And she worked at Eskom a while ago. She ran a power station. Which power station? She ran a Matimba power station at some point. Yes. I think I've introduced the team. She will introduce herself. I think let me not take the start.
Thank you, Chair. Fintiti Rosenberg here from EDD, beginning of.
I didn't want to introduce the shareholder, Chair. She might. Chair, okay. Once more, thank you, Chair. We had hoped, hopefully, maybe towards the end, otherwise, we will leave the. We had prepared a 40 minute, 58 second, 75 year. The video, but I think we don't have. So, but we'll leave the text here. That takes you through the journey of IDC. I think sometimes we talk lots of numbers and all of that, but behind the question, but there's a real story here. There's industries that have been created, there's jobs that have been created, and there's people that have been powered in the process. So we have created the video, but leave it with you. We thought we would ask that we show that, but it's fine. And here, what we'll do is at the end. We have brought some products that our clients have produced so that the members can experience, but we'll give those at the end, two or three of the products. Chair, we have submitted the report, but we've also done a presentation so that it just summarizes it. And I think with your guidance, so once we've done this, if there are any questions anyway, we'll take either on the presentation itself, but also on the report, which is an integrated report, as the Chair has said. So, and and I'm told the members have, I hope all the members have the hard copy of the presentation. Okay, thank you. So we'll page through it. The first part is the vision, mission, and objectives. That has not changed in the year that we're reporting, nor going forward. We're still responsible for the South African rest of the continent, as they said, and I think our objective has not changed, our values have not changed. In fact, if anything has changed, is the value chain approach, but that is only for this year, but I'll talk about it at a later stage. We will go to page 3, which is the summary of IGC's main activities. Those have also not changed, not in the year that we're reporting, that was in line with the plan that we presented. What we don't talk about much is the second bullet, where it says we involved in research, policy inputs, fund management, non-financial support. Because normally, whenever we report here, we talk about financing, how much for finance and all of that. But we do, from time to time, do research, not only for ourselves, as I see, because that research helps us to be able to see which sectors we should continue to invest in, which ones are growing, which ones have got potential to grow, which is why we also have this unit called New Industries, because then we get informed by that. And also from time to time, government does put in a policy effect most of the time, and then we look at it and we give inputs, I mean, because there is input that is requested. We also see what the policy has an impact on our activities, and then we take it. So we normally submit our positions and engage with the government. As far as fund management, that's largely through the Department of Trade and Industry, because then they have special schemes, which are still funds, which they want to somebody to manage for them, and we've done that over a number of years. That's one area that we do, so that's not IGC funding money, but that we will do. So they're in line with the Department of Trade and Industry, so we will then say, okay, this is for the specific purpose. For example, the textile ones, for example, which was interested in the CTC. And so we say, and then we have a committee, we sit in the committee, we look after the fund, and then we disperse them, and then we also do the monitoring, but we do that closely. So the biggest one is DGI. There's a small portion that we deal with economic development, EDD, and in the past years there were others, but they were very small with other departments, first class. And then for, because we know financing is not the only thing, so then for other businesses, then we would engage with people with expertise and provide whatever financial support that businesses that we fund would need. In some instances, we interact with entities like CEDA, for example, but in some instances, then we would work with private sector to see that we can build capacity. And then, from time to time, one area which we've done, is that there are developing finance institutions, provincial ones and continental ones, the ones in the rest of the continent, where because of our association with the ACFI, Association of African Development Finance Institutions in the South Africa, and then the SADC one, because we are members, so we help build capacity. So we would organize courses, we would get our team to present, because the intention is to try to strengthen all these RDFIs so that all of us can cooperate a little bit better. So we look at issues of risk management, issues of governance, issues of credit approval and all of this. So those are some of the things that we don't normally, you can't ascribe brains and sense to it, but it helps build capacity around. So that's one of the other things that we do, which we don't talk about. But the other activities, I mean, they stay the same in terms of where we get involved and the startups and then the sectors that we get involved in, so that has not largely changed. And the products that we have, that has not changed. So in terms of activities, that's that. What I would propose for a moment, Chair, and ask Ashraf just to take the members of the committee through the actual financials, and then I'll come back and then talk about the activities. So I think it's at the base of this that we get a sense of our activities. So, Ashraf, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Thanks, Jeffrey, for we look at page 5 of the pack, that's the IDC group structure. On the left hand side, we've got the IDC company itself, and then a few subsidiaries which make up the IDC mini group. We've got a company called Federico and another one called Implifit. Those companies, for now, they used to provide funding in the past, they're now dormant. We're re-evaluating the purpose of those two companies, and in the near future, we'll make a decision on what we use them for. The last company in that block, Conoil, that houses our settled shares. On the right hand side, we've got a company called Forscore. Jerry mentioned the company. We own 59% in Forscore. Forscore mines phosphate rock and produces phosphoric acid. Then we own 100% of the Small Enterprise Finance Agency. And we own 74% of Score South Africa, which is a manufacturer of steel products. And then we've got various other subsidiaries, mainly in the textile space. In terms of associates, those are companies in which we own between 20 and 50%. The main ones are, we own 24% in Modal, it's an aluminium producer in Mozambique. We own 24% in Wild Resources. The underlying investment there is Lonmin. We own 30% in Hewlett Aluminium, which is an aluminium manufacturer. We own 29% in Savannah Platinum, which is the listed, the underlying investment is Aquarius Platinum. And we own 20% in Olaborwa Copper, which mines and beneficiates copper. Then we've got approximately 90 other associates varying in size, but we've listed all the main ones on this page. Okay, if we move to page 6, the group statement of comprehensive income. If we start on the left-hand side with the mini group, we'll see revenue is down by 1% from 6.8 billion to 6.7 billion. And that's as a result of lower dividend income, mainly from the investment in Kumba. Then financing costs have gone up substantially from 837 million to 1.1 billion. IDC has increased the level of borrowings that we have. Our debt equity ratio is very low, and we believe that the capacity for the balance sheet to become more debt, so that's why we've increased the borrowings and the financing costs have accordingly gone up. Net capital gains in 2014 there was only 1 million, in 2015 427 million. The 427 is mainly as a result of an exit on a preference share investment called Batari Investments, and the underlying investment there was Exaro, that was sold off, and we made a profit of 427 million, mainly on that transaction. The other income, 231 in 2014 and 284 in 2015, that's a grant that we receive from the government for administering SIFA, the money is all passed on to SIFA as a shareholder loan. The next line is operating expenses, and you'll see that operating expenses are fairly well controlled with an increase of just 5% from 3.25 billion to 3.4 billion. Operating expenses also include impairments, and for the year that we're looking at, impairments are slightly down from the previous year. All in all, operating profit is down 4% from 2.9 billion to 2.8 billion. And then if we look at the tax line, there's a tax charge of 55 million. million compared to 551 million in the previous year. In 2014, there was new tax legislation brought in for dividends on preference shares that paid the dividends deemed to be interest, Section 8E and 8EA of the Income Tax Act specifically. That resulted in a big tax charge in 2014. So the profit for 2015 is 2.8 billion, and that's up 16% over the 2014 number of 2.4 billion. If we look at the second last line on the slide, that represents the mark-to-market of our equity investments. So as the share prices on some of our listed investments move up or down, we have to take the increase or decrease in the value into our books. Those increases and decreases are not recognized profits or losses. They're unrecognized, but we have to unrealized, and we have to recognize them in our financial statements. Mm-hmm. So we recognize them directly in reserves. For this particular year, we've had a decrease in the fair value of our investments of 16.6 billion compared to an increase last year of 7.6 billion. And the main contributors to that unrealized loss is a decrease in the value of our investment in Castle of 9 billion and a decrease in our investment in Kumba of also 9 billion. There were some profits then, or increases in fair values that offset the 18 billion from Castle and Kumba, to leave us with a net 16.6 billion. Here if we look at Fosco, they made a loss for the year of 410 million compared to a loss in the previous financial year of 29 million. Fosco has effectively been impacted negatively by unfavorable commodity prices, resulting in their losses. There's also some operational difficulties at a plant that we need to address, and those are being addressed in the current and future financial year. SCORE made a loss of 1.1 billion compared to a loss of 166 million in the previous year, and that's as a result of continued difficulties in the steel industry. FIFA made a loss of 299 million. That needs to be seen in conjunction with the other income, which I spoke about earlier in the mini group number of 284 million. So the net of those two is then a loss of 15 million that FIFA has made. The other subsidiaries. So. So we received a grant of 284 million from the shareholder for funding the operations of FIFA, and FIFA made a loss of 299 million. So the grant pretty much offsets the loss, and the grant was meant to cover some of the operational losses of FIFA. So the grant was 284, the loss is 299, so there's a shortfall of 15 million. Okay, the other subsidiaries, as I said earlier, is mainly subsidiaries in the textile industry and some other industries. All in all, they made a loss of 253 million. Some of the companies they have made losses there. South African Fire Yarn Rugs, a loss of 57 million. Erdmans, also in the textile industry, 38 million. Colibri, the toweling manufacturer, a loss of 27 million. So those are some of the losses there. The other column is then all the consolidation adjustments. So there's a whole lot of elimination entries that have to be put through into group transactions are eliminated, and we also then account for our investment in our associates, and that leaves us with a group profit of 1.6 billion. And if we move on to the next page, page 7, that gives us a comparison between 2014 and 2015 of the final group statement of comprehensive income that we have in the annual report. So revenue is down 2%, mainly as a result of lower dividends, and then also a decrease in revenue from school. Cost of sales is up by 10% from 11.4 billion to 12.5 billion, and that's as a result of the increase in raw material prices, both at school and for school. I spoke about the increase in borrowing, so the borrowing costs have gone up 37%. The net capital gains, I spoke about Masadi, and then at the group level, POSCO exited an investment that it had in a company called Corondel, so there was a profit on that transaction. Operating expenses up by 5%. That window leaves an operating profit that's down by 60% from 2.5 billion to just over 1 billion. The profits and losses from our equity accounted investments have, there's been profit this year of 656 million. They've done quite well this year compared to the difficult year that they had last year, where they made losses of 310 million. Some of the companies that have made profits there, Mosul Aluminium, 206 million, Hewlett Aluminium, 166 million, Olaboro Coffer, 113 million, Hans Marensky, 85 million, Umicore AutoCAD, 57 million. So our profit before tax then is 1.7 billion compared to 2.2 billion in the previous year. I've spoken about the decrease in the tax number that has come down from 560 million to 14 million. And that leaves us with a profit for the year of 1.65 billion compared to 1.64 billion in the previous year, a 10 million rand increase. I've also mentioned the movement in reserves as a result of the mark-to-market of our investments. So there's a downward movement of 18.7 billion for the current year. And that's as a result, again, of Sasol and Kumba. Okay, if we move on to the next slide, slide 8, it just gives you a 5-year overview of our sources of income. The yellow block at the bottom, dividend from our listed investments, down in the current year by 15% compared to the previous year, from 3.2 billion to 2.7 billion, mainly as a result of our investment in Kumba, where the dividend has come under pressure. Just to give you an idea, 2 years ago we received 1.6 billion from Kumba. In 2015 we received 900 million, so that's a decrease of 700 million. And indications are that in this financial year, this dividend from Kumba will be substantially lower. You would have read in the papers that Kumba didn't declare an interim dividend, so we do hope that they'll declare a final dividend, but we expect that it will be substantially less than 900 million received last year. And as the CEO said, this current financial year is going to be quite a difficult one financially. So the next bar then is our dividends in unlisted investments. An increase from 670 million to 738 million. And there was a once-off dividend from from an investment called Dreamworld, underlying investment there being Alexander Forbes, where we received a dividend on the exit of the transaction. Interest income has gone up by 4% from 2.1 billion to 2.2 billion. Fees and other income also gone up just over 100 million from 587 to 692. The money market income is interest that we receive on our money in our bank account mainly, and the Mosul metal fee is as part of the Mosul transaction. We are entitled to some offtake from the operations and our portion of selling those metal is then a net income of 371 million. Can move on to page 9. We've got impairments as a percentage of total financing. So the red line is impairments as a percentage of total financing at cost. We'll see the impairments have come down from 18.2%, which where it was for the last 3 years, to 16.7%. So that's an improvement, and we put in place lots of interventions to deal with impairments, and hopefully those are now paying dividends, and that number can come down further. A percentage of market value, the blue line, that's gone up from 7.6% to 8.8%, and that's as a result of the decline in the market value of the investments. So the impairments have come down, but the market values have come down faster than the decline in impairments. Okay, so if we move on to page 10, this is an indication of the impairments for the current financial year, 2015. The income statement charge, and you can see that the big movements are still in the mining and mineral beneficiation sector, construction, metals and machinery products and textiles. So those sectors of the economy are still under severe pressure, and that's where our big impairment numbers are coming from. Okay, we move to page 11, the statement of financial position. Total assets have gone down by 12 billion from 139 billion to 122 billion, and that's largely as a result of the decline in the value of our investments. As I said earlier, when we mark to market the investments, we take the increase or decrease in values into account, and the investments have gone down in this particular year, again, mainly as a result of Sasol and Kumba. Accordingly, reserves have also gone down, and the other number that's important on our balance sheet is liabilities, where our loans have gone up from 21 billion to 24 billion as a result of the increased borrowings. We move to page 12. You'll see the greenish bar at the bottom, that's our loans and advances over the last 5 years, which have doubled from, or just more than doubled from 12 billion in 2011 to 26 billion in 2015, with an increase of about 15% in the last year from 22 billion to 26 billion. The yellow bar on top of it, the investment at cost, so the actual investment that we put into those companies, again, also just about doubled from 13 million to 25 billion over the 5 years, and also an increase of 14% in the last year from 21 billion to 25 billion. And the blue bar, the revaluation of our investments, has come down from 75 billion to 55 billion. Okay, the next slide, slide 13. The blue bar being facilities that that we've committed to, that we've made approvals for, and where the funding just needs to be torn down. There may be agreements that need to be signed or conditions precedent that need to be met before we actually disburse the funds. But for 2015, the commitments have come down from to 27 billion from 29 billion in the previous year. The level of advances into the economy, 10.9 billion, just slightly down from 11.1 billion in 2014. We move to slide 14. I've spoken about the decline in the value of our Sasol and Kumba shares. Here you can see it in the slide graphically. The yellow bar being Sasol at the bottom, declined from 31 billion to 22 billion. The level at which it is now on more or less the same levels at which it was 4 or 5 years ago. The blue bar, Kumba, a significant decline. 4 or 5 years ago, 20 billion, now only 6.5 billion. So it shows a significant sign that Kumba share price is under, based on the high oil prices. HP Billiton, around about 9 billion, and fairly flat over the past 5 years, and then some smaller investments that we have. Okay, then slide 15, and the last slide that I will speak on. You'll see our debt equity ratio. As I said, we're increasing the levels of our borrowing, so our debt equity ratio has gone up from 20% in 2014 to 27% in 2015. We see that number continuing to grow, but we do monitor that on a regular basis, and we won't actually grow that beyond what we can afford. And our reserves, excluding the fair values of our investments, have gone up in the last 5 years to 11 billion from 35 to 44. The reserves from the fair values of our investments, that's come down over the last 5 years from 57 billion to 45 billion. Thank you, Manjee.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe just to summarize the story in the financials before we get to the actual activities. As I indicated, we operating in a the period we're reporting in an environment which has been very experiencing some challenges. That was manifested by the performance of our listed investments in terms of their ability to declare dividends, and that's an impact on our income. And hence, we've seen a reduction of that. I think we've spoken about the dividends in the cost. That ability for the dividends allows to be able to invest in new investments, and that has an impact on it. But I will come to what are we doing about that. But also we've seen the performance of the two large investments, Fosco and Score. In the period we're reporting, Score in all earnest operated for about 7 months. As you recall, in there was a 4 month strike for the platinum mines, and then 1 month strike for the metals. You know. So in all earnest, it was 4 months. It supplied a lot of its product to the mining sector. As far as Fosco is concerned, the adverse price of two products, lastly, one magnetite, which is linked to iron ore, which is an alternative way for iron ore, but also the phosphoric acid, which is being used for fertilizer, because that's a commodity that is traded when it's exported, the price has been low. But probably the biggest contributor has been the performance of its plant because of its age, in particularly in British Bay. It has not been very efficient, and that's why we're putting in a lot of effort. Because what you want to do is bring in the rock from British Bay when you convert, and some of the plants, I think 3D plants, reactor, and the two other benefits have failed, and as a result of that, it did not perform. Because in spite of it, had it been able to be a little bit more efficient, probably would have made much less loss than this. The other part, we see some of the other investments, the level of activity in terms of the implements has been not to the level it is. But what have we been doing? We're looking at diversification, which is why we've seen the investment in the renewable bringing in a certain type of such of investment so that we can try and balance it. But we also look at other manufacturing activities to try and bring in other new capacities so that we can diversify from these sectors, particularly from the traditional ones that we have. But those would go through a phase. Also, on as far as our payments, we've looked at strengthening that to ensure that as we impair those, but it's nothing that ordinarily we could have foreseen in past, so we strengthened the development, in fact, not really significantly. What we also are conscious of is that we are not very cost conscious, which is why we've seen a very modest increase as far as our operational costs. And one other pleasure we do is we go out and we try and do what I would want to refer to as smart borrowings. We try and access as much as possible cheaper funding so that we can be able to allow us to unlend some of that. So the balance sheet is still relatively strong. Our ability to borrow is still there. But I think it is important that we keep a close eye on the business so that we are able to continue to intervene, because we need to intervene, we need to plan on any changes. So I think, Chair, that's the takeaways on the financial statements. Chair, what I did not do, which I apologize, I should have asked how much time we have before I continue for our presentation. Maybe I should have done it.
I don't know myself. Just before I answer the question, we normally, I know, we lose tax without anything tonight. Those from the hotel. We want to pray to have tea in the marriage facility and then come back with the takeaway country. Or you want us to continue? Yes. I know. That's why I'm asking the question, so that we can all be comfortable. Okay. We can continue. Okay. The Babumbata. Can we then proceed? Can we give you, we'll ask questions on the financial and see how far we'll go. Then, because I know that in terms of the annual report, we need more, we'll need to be more time to engage also. And seeing that we only have less than an hour, I don't think we'll manage. Can we then entertain the questions? Related financial forms. Note number one, who else want to talk? Who else? Okay.
monetary strategy. Thanks very much for the presentation. But one thing that that does come through quite strongly from the financials is that recent uptick in lending as well that that you mentioned, in fact, almost doubled over the last 4 or 5 years. I also noticed the impairments that go up a little bit, which obviously is in line with that, and have come down slightly as well. My question to you is about the quality of that lending. You show the impairments, but you don't know what the actual write-offs are. And I was just wondering if there's been any increase in actual write-offs themselves. So if you could talk to us a little bit about the quality of your lending. So you double, let's, just if you could give us a little bit of a chat about that. And then the second point was on Shifa as well. It's lost 300 million rand, and I see it's got revenues of 150 million. What level of that debt have we got there? Are those loans being repaid on any service? What is the movement over time? Are things improving? Because I know the country is obviously going through difficult economic times, and I was wondering whether we've got a problem with the repayment of those loans. Also, have we looked at the structure of CIFA? Because when you think about the shareholder making a grant of 298 million, I assume you are 100% shareholder, so in other words, IDC is paying the money. So is IDC looking closely at the structure of CIFA and at the amount of employees it's got? And I know the main reason is it's not necessarily to make profit because it does provide a service, but you certainly wouldn't want to have very high losses on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sir Person, and let's thank the IDC team for the presentation. Mr. Prima indicated that there's a need to put an eye on the ability to borrow because of the volatility that is going on here. But the climate in crisis is not something that appears to be going away very, very soon. What kind of plans is the IDC consider or contemplating to try and arrest the situation, particularly as it relates to Kumba, Phosphor and Score, because I think a lot of damage is coming from those three areas where the figures have been going down terribly. If we could just hear of I know if we had allowed them to continue to find to complete the presentation, possibly to say a lot on that. Unfortunately, the decision was taken to say, let's deal with the figure first and then we'll proceed later. That would be my basic question, as you know. Thank you.
Dr. Khan, any other? Are we okay? Don't come back later, okay? I forgot to mention this one. Okay, I think in the interest of time, let's not. I just want to get the general impact on the performance, by especially in relation to the performance of the main, the main companies that are really attributable to greater dividend sharing here. The other issue is just to, I know that most members I know, especially in terms of explaining the difference between what I talk about when I talk about coups and what I talk about when I talk about convention, so that they understand the difference between the two. I'll jump to the answer, because I know that when you in the other side will be able to explain further. I had a question. It will come later. I think I remember it. I don't know where I wrote it. Can you just respond to those few questions that were asked?
Thanks, Chair. Maybe let me start with your last question, Chair. The difference between the company and the group. So we have mini group. So when we refer to the company or the mini group, that is IDC's financing activities. So that's what is happening, let me say, in
Centene and its regional offices. That's where we do the actual lending and all of it. That is why we've seen the EFCOIN logos on the financing side. Now, when you're looking at the group, then you would include our investment in others. There's FOSCO, there's SCORE, the MOSA, and all of the other things. And all of those things become part of the group, and that's why then we present those. Those are our activities in those investments. That's the main difference. So the company is actual funding activities, and then you add all the other investments we've made, and then all of it then becomes the IDC. The uptake in the lending in fact is similar, which is just it's a good indication, because it means we bring in new capacity, means we're starting new capacity to expand, which is a good thing. But I think the observation is very right that as we do those, the quality of those needs is sustainable, because even in our act, it is important that we continue to fund sustainable businesses. So there have been certain sectors, which are historical, because some of them come back and we modernize them and all of them, all of that. Where we've seen in the textiles, some developmental design and all of that, but I don't think it's a sector that has super profits. So we continue to find it. But there are issues we find, for example, in those where we need to work as well. But in fact, there are others that are performing, even outside textiles. We have looked in the consulting side in some of those where we have had two significant losses in those. So that is also an impact. But also just to remind the committee, I think about 2 years ago, we did come here. We made an investment in the media position where we lost. In fact, we expected almost motor vehicles in those investments. So we had some of the chunky ones that had an impact in terms of the impairments. Now, when you're looking at the growth of the lending book itself, because there's a fairer, a biggish term, which is going to be the renewable, the quality of that is much, much good. So that is why you'll see the quality has improved as far as that is concerned. If I look back, maybe what we can do is we will notice this, maybe we can either send it, how the profile has changed over time. We've had a number of, because we didn't show the write-offs, because there has been write-offs, and I think maybe in fact in the future we'll actually separate it as well, because there have been write-offs. Some of those have been discounted. Because the approach we take is we try all means to try and recover from it, so we don't write it off on day one, because we also take security. In some instances, when you wind them down, you have to make sure that you maximize what you recover and all of that. In short, the trend has been positive because it's grown, but the one line which we've looked at carefully is the level of impairment to make sure that it does not run out with us. On the loan side, I'm fairly comfortable. But as I said, right at the beginning, in the period that we are in, we want to see significant impairments because the mining sector has not performed, because the steel sector has not performed, because of other sectors. So I'm saying when I come back, the level, the present economic circumstances that we find, I'm going to put stress on our impairments. I think the number will be significantly more than that. I think we want to change the interventions that we've done, but the trend for this period is going to come up, it's going to uptick. That's one area which was right at the beginning. I think there's a grant we're going to present in the summer. But for this year, I think the interventions are good. And I say, by and large, we bring in better quality book than we did in the past. And I think for the renewables, there's a book which is going to be almost risk-free. I mean, the renewable lot of it will be risk-free. And that's about it. There's a choice that we're sort of pushing that. But the thing is, as we, because how we do impairments, because not everything that we impair, necessarily bad. Some of it is because we invest right at the beginning. So when you invest right at the beginning, the accountants say, hey, I'm not sure whether you'll make money or this thing will work or not. Because of that uncertainty, that's putting a little bit of impairment. But some of it is because it has not performed in terms of the plan, and then in that case, it's somebody is in doubt, and then we have to impair. So, but that's one area which we're looking at it very, very carefully. And as far as the CIFA is concerned, the amount that comes in, which are self-related to the shareholder, we mean government, because government gives CIFA about 223, I think that's what the amount is now, for the operational costs that we run, so that we can also cushion the cost of funds. So, because IDC is 100% shareholder of government, it goes through IDC. I think that's what government wants us to do, so that we make sure that it's properly accounted for in all of this. It goes through, but it helps them to cushion that. So that is why you see their losses at about 15 or so.
in terms of one area, and one of the reasons why FIFA is reporting to IDC is for us to help them build capacity, as well as a lens directly. So one of the things that we're doing is looking at the ability for them to collect. Because it's well and good to disperse, but if you don't collect. Presently, I think there are numbers that they raised, I think they're about 22% increment charge in their income statement. Those are just the numbers. And the percentage of what you call non-performing loans is about 30%. So that's one part that we have to consider. I know Shifa last week went to the two, they started to actually look at their ability to be able to collect, because it doesn't help to grow too quickly in the income. So that's one other area which we're looking at very, very definitely.
There, in terms of their capacity to you're building capacity for them to collect, but the challenge is the people they are dealing with, are they able then to repay? Because we've been hammering on that before. I'm not sure whether you're looking at that. But most of these monies are with the intermediaries. Because of intermediaries, interest rates, they're not able then to cope, the borrowers are not able to cope with the repayment. So how are you looking at that aspect?
Thank you, Chair. In these 2 days, as I said, they were going through the city. One of the areas, the role of the intermediaries. I think because it's been clear, some of them have been very happy in terms of accession, but some of them are not really. I mean, the interest rate isn't private, even some of them have actually contributed to people not being able to afford. So that's one area we have looked at, and we've given some input. I mean, I think also it's a point, which the Ministry of Small Enterprise Development has attended, small business development has looked at, to say what can we do to reduce that. And that's one other area, because you are absolutely right. I mean, if you price them out of the market, how can they be able to do it? So that's one area to say which models, besides using this intermediary, should we continue with, which others we should just up, because some of them has been, I think this committee has raised a number of times. Okay. On the question of us being able to borrow, I think the balance sheet allows us to be able to borrow. But I think the question is very real. What can we do? What interventions are we doing? On fourth score, I'm saying of the three, probably relatively easy, because we actually get the problem. The problem, we have to modernize and upgrade the logistic plant, okay, so that then it converts. There's very little we can do on the price of a commodity. I mean, if you look at in the scale of things, South Africa is the standard. But what we're doing, we're increasing the capacity for them to convert that phosphoric acid into granular so that we sell more and more of the fertilizer in South Africa. Phosphor sells one part, then there's something called NPK, so phosphor sells phosphate, which is P, and then N and K gets nitrogen and potassium, and then those get blended. So we want to sell more. If we sell more in South Africa, then the ability of people to ensure that they're not exposed largely to this commodity of phosphoric acid is reduced. It's not, we can't eliminate it completely, but at least we can reduce. And also, we ensure that there's less import of phosphate fertilizer, because there's different types of fertilizers, but the phosphate one, which is largely used in South Africa. I think roughly Fourscore, let's say, provides about 55% of phosphate fertilizers in South Africa, and we want to increase that so that we do. So that's one application, but you can do that by fixing the plants. So that's the easy one. As far as score is concerned, we've gone out, we've issued requests for information, because it's clear that business needs a little bit of some partnerships in other aspects. And some aspects are doing well, some aspects are not necessarily. So we've sent out the request. The teams are busy collecting those to see who is interested, what value can they add, so that then we can see how we can turn around to score so that it becomes competitive. Because it produces a lot of products. Some parts, the bulk of it goes to the mining, which is why it's just impacted by the mining. They've got something called grinding media, those balls that take off the ore from the rocks. And they've got parts that they also supply translate the will and the bodies and all of that. So we want to make sure that we modernize that part of the community. So that process will happen. On the difficult ones, like the Kumba one, that's really a community in itself. So for us, IDC was just an ordinary asset manager. I mean, one would have sold this a long time ago. But Kumba is very strategic in the country. It's good. I know that it's needed for steel, so we just have to rise. I think that's the approach we've taken. It's identified as very strategic. So on the greater performance, I think recently, if you look at the value where we are and the level of activities, I think we've done fairly okay. Fairly well. I mean, it's not spectacular like we 3 years ago, but I think we've done fairly well. And we want to continue to ensure that we can try and maintain the pace. I'm not undermining, I'm not underplaying the environment that we find ourselves in. I mean, we've seen it through our investment. It's been a tough one. But for the period we're reporting, we're reporting at group level, be it flat. We use the profitability as a proxy for to determine our sustainability. And I think it's there, but I want to repeat, the environment is challenging. But within that environment, I think we've done. With your permission, Chair, we can go to Professor.
Your presentation in Coromandel, what is it?
The one that Fosco sold. Okay, let me explain. I think as far as refers to, there was a portion, I think it was about 3% or something, it was 3%. I think Fosco, what happened was there was a transaction when, that was about maybe 8 years ago. 6 or 7 years ago, when Fosco wanted to strengthen this partnership because the companies in India have the technology to run phosphoric electrodes, they have lots of those. Because they don't have the law, so that's why they've perfected that, and this is why we brought them in Fosco. But to strengthen the relationship, then they bought quite access to market, but they paid a nominal fee. And then what about 3%, I think, of Coromandel. I think that is what one, but when the conversion of their shares, in fact, the buyback, so it rose to about 3%. I'm sorry to correction, I can get the exact number. But there was no, now that Fosco was there, and the relationship, there was no reason for us to keep that. So then Fosco sold that shares in the market, and they made some capital profit, which is why it was reflected as in it. So now, but Coromandel itself is a 14% ownership. Fosco itself. So IDC has 59%, Coromandel 14%, and then the personal making power is about 26% between the communities and some companies. So that's what it is. So they continue to be shareholders of Fosco, and they provide technical support as far as the registry plant is concerned. I think Fosco is very transformed this year. What we've done on the Richards Bay land, because of all the breakdowns and all of this, we had to go back and get some expansions. But they are in a specified period, because they need to translate this. As I said, you run this plant, and there's a lot of them. Now, presently, the Richards Bay plant is being run by an expert, but there's two individuals who are sort of friends who are understanding it. In fact, what we did was, because this is the second time we do this, which is a bit of a appointment. We did it in the past. We put in three individuals, South Africans. They went to India, got trained, they were deposed, and when they came here, they were so qualified. The other company just paid them what we could afford. So we lost them. So that was, and we got them up. And then we had an individual who ran the district plan for about 18 months, I think it's Nachin Kuruzwai. But then he resigned and he wanted to go and further his studies. But because we're going through it deep now and we need to fix the land, that's why we went back and got some. But as I said, we've got two South Africans who are still undertaking it. Hopefully we'll do it a bit better now. But we got somebody who's got 8 years experience. Because we need to turn the plant is to produce. I mean, the land is very capacity of about 700,000 tons. Last year it produced less than half of that. Less than half of that. And we need to bring, because that's its cost, that's why it takes so much losses. So we need to bring it back to about 600,000 tons. When Coromandel ran the plant, we bought it to 90. So we need to bring it back to that so that the cash flow wise and all of it. Because as we see now, Chair, Fosco is experiencing. It's in a strained position, but it's a show that we're going to fund it, capitalize it to all of us. It's as I said at the beginning, that I understand what Parliament is doing to now. We're having the staff in Tutus Bay, which has been on strike for 8 days for bonuses that we'll hopefully sort out. Thank you.
I'm not sure whether you pin in them, if you train them and deploy them, pin them to a particular contract, so that, you know, it's not just a loss. If it's a loss, then it's not just a loss. It's a loss towards the total transformation agenda. So it has an overall picture, bigger picture than what, you know, individuals seem to think they're getting from the whole thing. Members, I don't know, I'm looking at time now. I'm not sure whether you'll be able to exhaust or we will be able to exhaust the presentation. So the next presentation, I know it might take us well beyond that in terms of our discussion. They have to guide me here. I can keep, I'm a very flexible person now, but if you can advise me now, because of, I don't want us to, you know, to start something that might not be able to finish.
Chair, before we have an opportunity to read the presentation, would it not be an idea for us to pose our questions anyway, based on what we have read and studied, having had the presentation for a few days?
Instead of allowing the CEO to present first?
I just don't think there's going to be enough time for the presentation and the questions we want to ask.
Okay. I hope we all have the same ability to grasp and interact. Babu Vikinene?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think it would be good that the time that normally allocated for presentation follow that procedure.
We don't rush through things. So that's the idea. Idea is that we have people before us so that we can be able to understand the issues. Because sometimes we read and we have our own understanding. But if we interact with the main people, then we get a different perspective from what we had when we were doing our own. So it is important that we allocate enough sufficient time for that. But I don't think there's any opposing view. Sure, the opposing view that we continue, but then when the time comes that I stop, I will have to stop. If there are those who are disadvantaged, I hope they will be able to interact with IDC outside the system. But I will also talk to the IDC and question them not to really divulge anything that's not within the, you know, the framework of the issues we're dealing with, we're supposed to be dealing with today. Babu Qhena, as well, can we then continue with the next presentation?
Thanks, I'll be brief. I think there's in the slide there's a lot of slides, but let me highlight the key parts, and then maybe we can get the members to guide us with the questions. Chair, maybe let's go to slide 17. Slide 17 tries to capture the whole impact for the year that we're 14-15. We've seen the numbers. What we've approved for this year, $11.5 billion. That's what we've approved. And then what we dispersed in the same period is 10.9. That's what we've said, slide 17. There's always a lag between what we approve and what we disperse. Well, some of the projects have been over the period. So in the 10.9, it's not necessarily everything that was approved in 2014. Some of you have approved in AIS because we implement. I'll give you an example. If you do a renewable project, you construct over 24 to 30 miles or so. So you draw as a construct, for example. Now, in that $11.5 billion, $1.8 billion has been investment outside of South Africa, about 10 years. And then in this $11.5 billion that we've approved, we're expecting to create and or save about 20,000 jobs. There's a slide I will sort of break down a little bit. after approval, 756 million went to companies where women ownership is over 25%. That's not something. Of that 11.5 billion, 5.9 billion, over half of that, went to businesses where black ownership is at least 25%. There's another slide that will give you another number for businesses that are 51% controlled, or at least more than 50% controlled by this. Now, in the approval, about 159 million has been to businesses where youth ownership is at least 25%. And the 2 billion in the 11.5 billion has been to small and medium sized enterprises. We've approved close to 200 companies, about 11 of those. This is not including what CIFA is doing. This is outside of CIFA, actually, because CIFA has small, medium, and micro enterprises. The 11.5 billion, which we said we've approved, about 5.2 billion of it went to the manufacturing sector. This is also talking to this issue to stimulate the manufacturing sector and also hopefully diversify. The 14 billion talks to our intervention over the last 4 years in the renewable sectors, wind, concentrated solar power, photovoltaic, and one hydro. Of which those 14 billion, about 75 megawatts are already connected in the grid. I think the number is changing more now, I mean, because since they're connecting more and more. I think, well, the intention is about 1,400 megawatts. If all these projects, not if, when all these projects are connected, we will generate 1,400 megawatts. And then there's the CIFA's number, that 943 million. 1,200. Now, on slide 18, here we were showing really the trend. Now, today, the last three years, our biggest contributor has been on renewable, and hence we have those numbers. But this year, that's why you see there's a brown bar, part of the bar, that shows the renewable, and then there's the blue one, which shows other profiles. So for this year, we've done relatively almost the same as 2013 in terms of other profiles, and with a small renewable. That small renewable does not mean we're not doing renewable anymore, but we should just recall that it's a process driven by the Department of Energy. So in that year that we're reporting the very few rounds which we did. But also what we've done, also we've tried to take the stance to say we want to now support more and more of the projects that will do a bit more localization than in the past. And also we want an element of transformation happening in the world. On slide 19, really we were just breaking it down, because I think it is probably important that we show where the money goes, startups, expansions, so that we don't just continue to invest. Because when we do startups and expansions, they bring in new capacity, and that's what we want to see happening. Sustainable capacity, obviously. And then in the process, we are free. I think maybe the bullet that I want to focus on is that third grade, and it says 7% of the number of approvals and 63% of the value went to new clients. So it's clients which are not ID clients. We've seen cases where people come because they expand and because they need a bit more capital, they didn't capitalize more. That continues, but I think it's encouraging to see that new clients are coming. And then slide 20 gives us the breakdown really. 34% to infrastructure and related, that's green and everything. 21% that's mining and all the others, and then 45% is manufacturing, which is the bulk of it. And then slide 21 gives a sense of where in the manufacturing, which parts of the manufacturing that is there. I think so. What has been encouraging, we're seeing more of the recycling also playing a bit of a role. I think what you'll see going forward, our investment in the automotive, because we're trying to partner more and more now with the OEMs to try and localize the back of the incentives that they're getting. You won't see it in these numbers, hopefully in the latter years you'll see that. And then we have some examples. I mean, we've shown DCD, which is, I think, this one is actually a good, it's a very good story. We funded them doing the towers. Now we're funding the same group on the doing work with the Transnet. That really talks to the localization. Slide 23 is just an example where we've seen this company grow with us. really strengthening the localization. I think it's been more relevant here in the Western Cape. Still manufacturers, and then we see also on slide 24, which is also case studies, also in domestic case, where we're seeing now on the case study, that as I said, in some niches there is an opportunity to continue to support that where there's local manufacturing, and for those who did buy the Springbok supporter t-shirt that was localized, so the two companies in South Africa that manufacture that, so this one and another one. So even though did not win the World Cup, at least we still localized that. And then on the agro-processing, I think there's an opportunity there where we're looking at partnering. In fact, there's one example which we don't have here, but I will talk about it. We're also using a feed chemical, we're using chemical, but also to generate energy. What we've also done, I mean, on slide 26 is an example where we, once we want to manufacture, we encourage new technologies. At the same time, there's youth in this one, which is even more relevant now with the drought that's facing us, where this technology might help in terms of reducing the leaks as far as the technology is concerned. Slide 27 gives us a sense of where we are as far as the mining sector. The biggest beneficiary on this one here has been this project in Palabola Mining Company, where they're expanding the life of the mine. And I think that's one part, but also participating in the other projects that we're looking at is in the manganese mine in the Northern Cape, which now is almost being completed. Although the timing for the manganese part itself is a bit relatively low, but these are long-term projects. That's why we partner them. The manganese one, the Palabora Mining Company is in Palabora. This is what is to be owned by Rio Tinto. And in the process as well, we also supported companies that will provide coal. That's on slide 29. This one case study of a company that is going to provide coal to Eskom. We know as Eskom brings these new power stations, we continue to need power in this one in particular, Kusi. So, I mean, there's Tesla Mining Resources. And on the infrastructure in agro, largely here is on the renewable sector, which is, I said, will continue, but the level this year has been low. But we've also looked at other energy type. Gas is the one area which we've been looking at. I think there's a couple of examples where we should see how we can provide gas to ensure that we assist as an alternative source. Slide 31 gives a sense of a project which is already connected, which we launched, and then on slide 32 gives a case study of a gas, a CNG gas example, where we provide an alternative. And actually, this, what they are doing is now they came back to IC to now ensure that some of the hospitals in Gauteng use gas as a source of energy. I think boilers on it, because I think this is an opportunity. And this one has been done within our company. The next one on slide 33, I think it's a good example in that here we're using what has been off-crop waste for gas to power their boilers to reduce greenhouse emissions. So this one, and I think we will see a number of these coming up, particularly in the areas which is and then on 34, the example on the recycling, how we use that. The one maybe I want to spend 1 minute on maybe a bit more is on slide 35. As I said, we have forge and platinum companies, and those companies are handling with difficulties. They rely largely on automotive. This is an opportunity to create another source of a market for platinum. Because now we have got a lot of platinum as a country. So here you're using a fuel cell. This is powering the Chamber of Mines. Subsequent to this, in fact, when we report next time, we will show that we have another bigger one we should do with the mining house, and there's an opportunity to do more. So this is where we're using new technology, using a fuel cell technology, and using platinum to be able to store energy and then maybe generate another percent. That's good on the cleaner side, but also it's good to ensure that the market for our platinum. And there was a, I think it been in the last time we came, so what are we doing for the, to telling our stories, but also to bring in transformation. So we started with the Amazing Black Film Makers Transformation Funds, and here we bring some of the examples of what we've already funded in particular. And on slide 86, now we're talking about the development, particularly jobs. Now, when I look at the one probably low point for us in the results that we show in terms of our activities, is our ability in terms of the investments to ensure they create as much jobs. I said about 20,000, of which about 40,000 will be new, and about just about 6,000 will be saved. And that's including what Shifa is doing. So this is one area which we have not performed as we would have wanted to, but this is one area which we have to continue to put pressure on ourselves to ensure that we do it. And then we follow with examples of some of those. I think this revolution in Kenya is a very good success. As you see, we've been with the 2008, they keep on expanding, and even when times are starting, they create, you know, the number of jobs, and this helps the country because most of these catamarans are actually getting exported, which is a good thing as we find so that we get export needs, particularly in our country. On slide 39, as I indicated, that's 25%, that's we about half of the investments we made in the year. About 5.9, just over half of the 11.5, went to companies with 25% like economic ownership. About 50, now when we look at this slide, and the second bullet, if we look over the period, about 50% of those companies, very low, and it's been allocated to companies with 50% black ownership. So it's not only now empowerment, but it's black ownership. So over this 5-year period, which is in a way a commitment to us to be sure that while we invest, we continue to ensure that transformation doesn't happen. And then we have a couple of entities which are controlled, and that's on page 40, that also talks to guests. So the investment is not only on the periphery of the economy, but on the main economy. Here, I said, yes, is key. And I think the other case study is here, starting, although they are contract manufacturing locally, but in time they will manufacture themselves, but at the back of a brand, so building South African brands, but in an entity that is owned by women. In fact, there's two case studies, Koni Multinational and Simona, they're both women-controlled companies, which is good, I think. Zama, we have a product for Koni, so that members can be able to experience that. On page 43, actually that gives you a sense of where the investments have been. Looked at the ones that are 50 million to give you a sense of where the investments have been. And I think that's that. And then there's a couple of other case studies in the renewable. I think we're seeing more and more of the wind now being connected. And I think it will assist in ensuring that we have less and less of the load shedding that we can have. And we've also tried to ensure that the investments we influence where they are in terms of the province. That's why you see a couple of those, I mean, top line, case study in Daniel Blue with berries. One other thing that we do, we try and also support new technologies, which is why we've seen this telemedicine. I mean, we've been walking this path with this lady since 2008 to ensure that it gets tested. And I think it will, in time, help in because then you can run a child and check the doctor in a particular place, but through this kind of imaging facility, then you can be able to diagnose and be able to assist. Over and above just our normal funding, also we have initiatives that we do either through the development agencies, special interventions, but that is also social enterprise, because we know in some communities, you will want to encourage activities that happen, but in business that are not necessarily going to be for profit, but that is in the chance. A while ago, we did, in one of the products we did bring in some honey that came out from intervention like this. We didn't bring a product the time, but we really talk about what we do there. And I think we work with communities, and that's why you have the Mandela Bay Development Agency, what we're trying to do, the Philip Container Village, which I think is a great initiative where you're wanting to bring people who want to have businesses to have access to premises that sort of like 50, and without the struggle maybe incurring sickness and cost. And I think this one is from an initial start, I think we've seen great interest in this, and hopefully in future this will grow. And then, as I said, we the year we approved 7.8 million, 1.8 went into the rest of the continent. So on slide 52, that gives a sense of where we are in the continent. And some of the products that we have were referred to on slide 53, Mamba Collieries, which comes to energy effect. Those two, I think this is one part which is in the continent that we need to bear on. Because once we can ensure that there's more energy that's generated, and the ability to manufacture and produce in the continent, that will give So the big case study is one in Zambia, and then we have one in Ghana, the Zen Power Generation Company, and then the cement which approved plants in Mozambique. This is in addition to the Namibia and the Ethiopia one that we have. And then maybe as far as what we do in the highlights here, we also do CSI, and I think as a good corporate citizen, I think probably one of our highlights is that we've adopted 20 schools. And we continue to fund those in the whole school development program. It's not only building teachers, more engaging, educating the teachers, working with the government councils and all of this. And I think we find that is a good intervention. And this year we try to build only once from start to finish in somewhere in the Eastern Cape. So Chair, in conclusion, this year has been not an easy one, a challenging one, but I think IC has continued to play not only transformation, but supporting black industries, but we've helped in ensuring that we make increase localization whilst promoting regional integration. But it must be said, IDC does not achieve on its own. It does that in partnership with many other players, be it the banks, be it private sector, be it some governments, be it other finance institutions and our traditional partners. And I think this is the partnership we want to continue to do. We embark on a value chain approach. We want to make sure that we keep in the linkages through the whole value chain that we've identified. But we'll only work if we do it in partnership with this. So Chair, I've tried to run through it quickly in terms of what we do, but we will, and then we will take questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Babu Kuna. May we then interact? I think, yes, you tried your best to run through it. And I'm not sure whether I'm comfortable with that, but for the sake of progress, let's continue. Dr. Kado, I saw your hand. Mr. Jesiani, actually, Bob Bignini, Mr. Atkinson, Mr. Jesiani, Mema Kimi.
Thanks, Chair. And thanks very much for a very comprehensive presentation, and congratulations on the work that you have done. Well, I've got a number of questions, but I'm going to focus on one
particular. You can
find yourself at the moment. Sure, I'll ask a series of questions around one issue in particular, and that is on the steel industry. Now, you mentioned in your annual report that SCORE, in which you had a 74% stake, has made a loss of over 1.1 billion in the financial year. Now, taking that into consideration, and also the fact that there's this huge global glut of 600 million tons of steel, I wanted to find out more from you about your plans to embark on a $5 billion construction of a steel plant in collaboration with the Chinese steelmaker Hebei. I want to know a couple of things about that. Had a proper feasibility study been done? Because the last time saw the IDC issue statement in September announcing the signing of a memorandum of understanding between yourselves and Hebei, and the Minister of Economic Development said at the time, I quote, once this process has been completed and depending on a positive outcome of the study, we intend to commence the establishment of a South African iron and steel company, close quote. Now, has that feasibility study been completed? Because I know your head of mining and metals, Mr. Malinga, has said that you're determined to go ahead with this. Can you confirm that this project will indeed go ahead? Can you give us some insight into what the recommendations of the feasibility study were? Can you tell us how this $5 billion deal is going to be financed? What are your own financial commitments, in other words, financial commitments to the IDC in this regard? Can you tell us how many jobs are going to be created? Thanks.
I just want to find out before you, before I allow you the government to continue. But is this, was this pronounced in the current financial year or the financial year under review? Or you are relating it to something that happened in the financial year under review?
Well, I'm relating it specifically to the mention that was made, the loss around four metal tons. There is no one's project is going to be embarked upon when steel industry is in crisis. And yes, noises about the potential of the deal were first made within the financial year under review. I first remember reading material about it in January, although it's in the current financial year that plans again the scheme.
Okay, I'll hear from
Dr.
Kuna. If you acknowledge that, it's fine. May we proceed with it? Can we proceed with it? Okay. Thank you. Babu Beginner?
You know, when go home, you come back at 8:30 a.m. There's his own stuff. But basically, you know, the business of the IDC, you know, the issue of steel, but there are challenges that we know that she is quite still under the share under review. I think mine is to how are we dealing with that in this present moment. You know, the other one, are there any challenges faced by entrepreneurs in accessing finance, in running successful long-term businesses? Because normally, they don't, we don't, SMEs are not say long. You know their issues.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jay. In line with your investments in renewable energy, are you involved in hydroelectricity at all? I'm thinking particularly of Rain India Hydro. And I'm just thinking in particular of Rain India, but just if you maybe give us some view of your involvement in hydroelectricity.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Just two quick questions. The first one is on the 1.8 billion that was invested on the continent. We are proud that IDC continues to play a role on the continent on behalf of our government. But the question is, what kind of opportunities are created in that process of investing in Africa for local businesses? Because the situation we have there, relationship with our sister countries on the continent. The second question relates to the 756 million allocated to coal businesses. I'm looking at women-owned companies. Yes, we're looking at the year that is under review presently. But I think in order to somehow measure sustainability, progress, and growth, can we then retrogressively try to look at the earlier investment on women, like for instance 2010, somewhere there about, so that we are able to say indeed there's progress in that regard, because the idea is not just to throw in the money and say these are the figures and so on. Those will be my two questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Let me also welcome the presentation by IDC. Mine are so short, the steel one has been covered. On the issue of the Basco, is it Basmark? It said that it, the IDC expected it to create 1,000 jobs. I wanted to check if that expectation was indeed realized. And also as a follow-up on the issue of the job created on all the projects funded by IDC. Do the IDC have that in some arena? And one other thing that is not presented is the issue of the way to gold. I will continue asking that question because during our oversight visit, we realized that if our gold can be assisted with the 3 million that they requested for a conversion, a lot of jobs can be created. So I'm making a follow up. If our gold to find it now, because it's not working. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Babu,
and thanks for the presentation. Mine is just a comment. Corporate social investment. I think it would be proper for IGC in the future to tell us exactly if the school has been finished or still in the process of being built. And also, the second bullet, it's very good what they're saying here, but we need to know where are these things happening. Because just to say schools, there are many schools in South Africa. We would like to know whether, even in my province, there's school that is being done in KZN. And the teachers that are going for maths and science upgrade, which is very important. We need to know where are they in this province.
Thank you. I think there's generally an outcry that sometimes there's a discrepancy between the approval and the real disbursement. And you say it's a normal thing. It has to happen. The only worry I have is that it may sometimes make people or small animation companies we sometimes say subcontract to the established companies. They may make them not to see the light of the investment. So I just want to understand what's the turnaround time, for instance, between the actual approval and the disbursement, and what factors are the normal usual factors that you would find to be the right serving as impediments towards total in most cases. Secondly, I can see that you continued actually to finance DCD. Initially was the wind tower plant in the Eastern Cape, and then now is the Gauteng carbon structure from a request from Transnet. Looking at what we saw in the Eastern Cape, it's quite clear that their complaint was about in as far as our capacity or capability as South Africa to locally apply certain material that are needed for them to produce even the towers that we require them to produce. And as a result, it robs South Africa of an opportunity to create more jobs. So I'm not sure what is happening in that regard, because the community's main area of focus is that of ensuring that as much as we want to finance companies or large companies, it is also important to ensure that we create jobs. It's not just for the purposes of economic activity, but also for job-led activity. So that we can see total development of our people in the country. So the issue I'm trying to raise here is that are you ensuring that there's balance whenever you approve and finally loan companies? So this is, I'm citing DCD as one of those examples of such. I wanted also to tap on what Obabo Ocean spoke of. I think one of the areas that really concerns me, not to say you're not doing anything about it, I can see you're doing a lot in that area, is tracking the, you know, we said that before FIFA was born, while it was still cooler, that there's a lot of financing that has happened to South African companies. Some of those people have even expanded internationally. But the challenge is that they're not giving credit to South Africa, to our own government. You know, some of them is like, you know, they were born out of their own intelligence or intellectual capacity and financial muscle, or have received that from outside donor funding more than having been assisted by interventions of this government. So for me, it will be important that we begin to isolate those and didn't make noise out of them, because otherwise it would be like South Africa is doing nothing in as far as empowerment of all companies. And there's a lot of interventions that you've made, for instance, IPC that we know of, where we have tried to assist international companies to be sustainable within South Africa because we needed them more than anything else. And even when some of them disappoint us in as far as production is concerned and therefore robbing us of important capital. So what I wanted to check from you, I've heard you now, you know, you started, I think it's last month, with this, your marketing and publicity, information and publicity activities within the IGC. I don't know how sustainable is that, because previously they used to be very, you know, active in that regard. But they're not really able to say, this is us, this is where we, these are the people that we've been with for a long time, and here they, we took them from this level, and here are they today. So that as we continue, we know that IPC is playing a very important role, and it is a force we reckon with, not only among the elite, but also among the ordinary people in South Africa. Because currently, it's only the elite who might know and who are able to interact with you. So I'm talking in respect to ordinary people, and I'm happy that you're beginning to finance women. And I'm sorry, I want to apologize on behalf of the portfolio committee, because last time you said, yes, we have the Women's Fund, but unfortunately it's not maximally utilized. Can you guys come and recommend, you know, women-led companies that we can be able to finance? I'm not sure what we've done, and to what extent it, the portfolio committee members come to you and say, there are women-led companies and want to go. So to me, that is very, very important. I know we're talking, you have alluded to blackness strategy in your report, which is something for the current financial year. I won't ask a lot on the phone because I know that you're working on that. You're currently working on that. But it will be important also to share with us in terms of your indicators, in terms of your indicators. So what have you planned, maybe as a So it's not just part of reporting for the not financial year, but for the just information sake. Because we take time to be nice with you, not because we want to, but because of the time the scheduling of the of no, let me rephrase, because of the programming of our legislation. That's to say, in terms of how we structure the 23 billion, this is what is going to be allocated to women with disabilities. We all know what percentage will be to the youth, but I don't think the question asked about the portion for women of that 23 billion. So it is important that we understand that, and not only for our sake, but also for the people out there, so that if they come to you, they know that there is fund allocated to, for their benefit. Thank you very much. I think that is as far as we can go, Tim. Yeah, we'll give you up to 25 too.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the committee members for the questions. Let's start with skill. We started in 2010, so it's not now. And really what was the trigger is, when you look at the input in the policy area, I said combat the strategic we have, I know, that's what I know. But when you look on the eastern side, there's more of the material which is probably underutilized. So we need the parabola, magnetite, and all of those other materials. And you need, that material is trendy, and you need to find out of it. Which is why I started the study. We wanted to use different technology, the rotary fence, the fence, the web, the main tech, and all others. Did work. We invited people to say who can come up with support technology, because we find it, we might do different work, but at the end, we need to. And we did extensive research, we searched around the world. I mean, we didn't just wake up and go heavy. We searched around the world, we invited people, different Koreans, and everybody. And then eventually we ended up with Heavy Jim, who came and showed interest, and the sustainable interest. But the technology was not the same as the one that we wanted. So we've been doing detailed studies to see where should the plant be located, what type of cost, you need to say where you go to Kekun Code, all the input, electricity and all of that. So where we are now, we have not chosen that. It's between two places, either Richards Bay or Mpumalanga. In fact, we started with three places actually. We wanted, in fact, my preference, I wanted it to be in Panagoro, because that's at the back of it. But logistically and all of that, it's going to be unconditional. Also the availability of electricity. So once you decide on the site, then you can start to do the EIAs and all that. So we have not decided. So that's why it's where we are. It's important that we do. Also, we just step back. Here we are looking at bringing in new technology. The skill plants we have are old. They're put in the 50s. That's the environmentally issues. I'm saying this because we're also shareholders of ArcelorMittal, 7.9% of it. So we're not taking these decisions very lightly. We will not take in isolation of what's happening now. But these investments are long term. Even when we start, let's say we agree now that we do this. It's going to take us another 2 years or something before the investment comes in. And this is based on two promises. If you look in the sub-Saharan Africa, who produces steel? South Africa does. You've got Egypt that produces something, you've got Zimbabwe that has got something, it's not producing. Now, when you look at infrastructure, where is the growth? The growth is in the continent. Now, granted, the chemical has got capacity for 7 million tons or so, but the rate is they don't get to that. In the short term, they're still facing a dire position. We've seen it cause that. But let's also go back. Score does a little bit different. Score does the product itself. I mean, it doesn't do flat. It does rolling mills, it does rolling products, roll products, it does grinding mills. It goes a step further. So it still needs a steel plant that will do flat and all that. So we're not at the stage where we're saying we are going to do it. But there's a lot of work to prove that. And if you took long term, we are still convinced. Now, in terms of how much IGC will present, it's only IGC and heavy. maybe the biggest steel plant, it's probably second in the world, the first, in terms of steel plant. And they've gone through different times, because even in their own steel plants in China, where they had old ones, now they need to modernize them and have some of the steel plants where there's less emissions that are less, relatively less environmental friendly. So that's why we partner. So we're doing this as a team, both IDC team and the heavy team that is looking at it. I mean, we've got, I think in IDC, we've got about 6 or 7 people. They also got about 6 or 7 people. But that's very important. So we have to look at all of these things, the ERAs and all of those. So at this stage, we're not ready to say we will start tomorrow, but this is a long-term project. I mean, as I said, we take into account what has been happening in the steel industry. Now, we don't want to be caught in a situation where we don't do anything. The steel house, because we know it's going to come up. And then only then do we start, because then others will have lost lives. And I think we need to really balance that. And we've been... Nature is also bring competition. That is why you see how Mittal is doing it. To try to look at itself to see, what have I done well? Have I been able to pass the benefits and all of that? So it will also be good for the competition side, but it's also good. We're not building this just to supply South Africa. It will be. I mean, it will make sense in any event. I mean, to the 3 million to 5 million tons, South Africa will not. But you have to look at the goes into the continent. And that's what is really been informing us. And there's a lot of work that we've done as far as that is concerned. And I think we've not finalized that actually, because this is indeed a very high ticket item. We're not going to that actually put in 2 billion or 3. In fact, we don't have 3 billion to put in, even if they say we do have half. There are development finance institutions which have shown interest, both in Europe and in Asia, that have shown interest. Obviously, they need to be comfortable at the stage where we can. I mean, there's a point, for example, that has been asked, I think the JR has known, I think it's been asked about our role in the hydro, for example, and all of it. You'll need skill on all of these things. So where do you get some of this? And that's the thinking. Of course, those are long-term processes. So we're taking this as a long-term project. But we will, now, if all is said and done, and we are convinced that we shouldn't do it, we'll still be at the point here when we're going to do it. But the work that we've done and the preliminary work we've done, there's nothing that is proven otherwise. And obviously, we won't do it just to cannibalize or kill the others. But it's important that we still play our competitors. We're not blind to them. But also, I think, Chair, we need to be vigilant that those who don't want to change push that disadvantage. Okay. So we shouldn't be reckless. We can't be. But we're players who have vested interest. And we need to balance that. I think the committee will help us in playing that objective role of actually balance. Because I know there's a lot of noise to say, IDC should not do this still, or why should we do it? I mean, the last time we did something of some scale was when we did Sagana Steel. That was a small amount, in fact. And we did that with in partnership with Solo Metal, and that's the last news still. But we do, I mean, we're involved in a number of other steels. Not only score, I mean, we try to save hyphens, which have the beams and all of this. Everybody do different patterns. I mean, if you look at IDC exposure, and in terms of number of companies, we were over 10, small ones and big ones. So we are sensitive to say what impact this will have on the number. Because others just do the galvanizing, others do the rolling. I mean, there's a company called Tefeco, which is battling, but it's in a different market. So we have to buy and see how we do it. So we're not going to be reckless. I just want to give the committee that assurance. But it's something that we will, I think, when we make significant milestones, we'll do it. It's taking it longer because we have to change the technology. We wanted to do the rotary hair furnace, which is a different one, like a bit more. Now we're doing the vaccines, which people would understand. And it actually has been proved that it can be done in a less, call it, less environmental harm practice. So I think that's a topic that I think that's what, because it's long term. We'll keep on coming back to the committee when we report on the committee. On hydro, we funded, in that 600 odd megawatts that we have, we funded a small one, the one in just outside of Kakamasa, it's a 10 megawatt hydro, and this is part of that, funded that. As far as India is concerned, as I said last time, I said the process is driven largely by entities in the JRC. We're looking at it very closely because in fact, South Africa has got a commitment to for the first stage, 2,500 megawatts. And you need to transmit all of that to South Africa, in Zimbabwe, Zambia, and all of those other countries. So we're very close to that. It's moving, but probably not at the best paces we wanted to. But we are continuing to be part of the energy, so hydro is one area that we will play. On the issue of investment outside of South Africa, indeed, we try and ensure that there is benefit for South Africa as well. I think obviously, we don't want to do it in a way in which we try to colonize the other country. We're trying to be selective. But let's see that as we invest, that some of the technologies that we have, we can export. Some of the projects that we have, we can export. In some instances, the way we think this value chain, some of the inputs that we might need into the South African country, so that we can win-win. Hopefully, we can get a win. But it's something that we are sensitive of, and it's something that we want to ensure that it happens. As far as the allocation to women, we haven't gone back that. I mean, those years have been successful. I think we'll look at that and see which ones are there. Because we've had interventions, I think the chair has actually also referred to that, that we've had interventions in as far as trying to find funds that we can see how much of women will be able to access that. In fact, there's a fund which we call Transformational Enterprise Fund, of which about 60% below less, 60% of that was the amount for women. And we've seen the uptake has been very slow. But if one looks at over the next 5 years, I think my team is just giving some numbers here, about 4.5 billion will go to women and youth. I think somebody said, yeah, each. So 4.5 billion each. That's what we came up. Obviously, you can go more than that. I mean, there's a need as far as well. So there is a commitment from us that we do indeed look at that. Let me ask, the question was specific on Basmat. I'll answer it broadly. Every year we go back and we check how many jobs we have. We did an internal audit to check how many jobs have been created, because we have probably so much and we know there's elements of overhead, so we do it to see what are the actual, because they are part of the KPIs we have to report on which get measured in any event, so we can share those, because we do them for performance. I don't have the specific for Basma, 1,000 what they said, how much has been. Or in fact, my team has actually already, 922 has been verified for last year. 922 CD, my team is giving me an idea as far as Basma is concerned. On the, so where to go, you have to come back. Sorry, I don't have an answer, but we'll come back on the show where to go. But we're supporting them, and I think it will grow. I suppose it has some hiccups, like everybody's got it because of too much of it, so that we will afford that. The schools, the school in Willowville has been completed. The Minister of Basic Education opened it. In fact, we're adding now, the next part, we're adding a library. We're adding a library. We've adopted 20 high schools. So at least two in every province, at least every province. But we've chosen the more difficult ones, the ones in the rural area, the ones where nobody wants to go. And we've adopted 10 primary schools that feed into those. As I said, it's a whole school development program. We can give a list of all of those schools. We have them, we do them, and we follow up on those. Access to long-term funding, I think there's always room for us to improve, but that's what I hope we try and bring, that we stay the course. When things go wrong, we're not the first ones to close. We try and stay. We have a unit we call way out, so that we can nest some. That's why we also intervene on stress funding and all of this. So that's one area which we try and keep a score. And also monitor our turnaround times. The disbursement, the discrepancy between disposals, approvals and disposals, to some extent it's a function of how long the project gets implemented, how much time does it take for the project to get implemented. For an example, sometimes they might need an approval from the municipality or something. If that takes a little bit long, then sometimes it sort of slows down. But I think since the last 4 years, we've been talking to the Minister of Economic Development. They've actually been very helpful. because they maybe have some of those stumbling blocks. They should go to the Ministry of Community Development to help us unblock those. So they're successful in others themselves, but in others it's been a little bit taking longer. I mean, there was one which I looked at yesterday, where one municipality, the guys want to build a factory. It's taking 2 years and not getting the support, but we've escalated some of those. So, yeah. In other instances, we're looking at, sometimes some of our legal conditions can slow down things, but the feedback we get is high. And, so you said until 25 to have missed your mark by 2 minutes and still have two more responses. Okay, one, let's try. On DCD, let's say, the ability to create jobs, and while we support those capital intensive. I think it's something that, we made a lot in called cost of job, and I think, in fact, the shareholder of the Minister of Economic Development is always keen to know the job efficiency is, some of those. And this is something, when we tie some of those facilities, not us, when we always tie the facilities, we also, for those that are more efficient in job creation, they get benefit, because we want to encourage them to create more jobs on the territory. So that will reflect also in the pricing. So for small facilities, maybe it's not very important for people to make a decision, but for large facilities, that's sway them. That's a percentage, So I think our partnership with DCD is a good one, because now we're talking localization. I mean, so that is why we've partnered with them. They're not the only ones, by the way, in terms of who do work for Transnet, which we partnered with. There's a number of other black companies as well. I think one of them is Lady Ray, which are also looking at the coaches and others. So we find those. And those have the ability to create jobs as well. In terms of how do we reach, I think the chair has been observant. We try to step up our ability to reach, or at least for people to know, the ordinary people. I think in the drama, if the committee members are noticing, we've had installed partnership with Business Day, with CPS, with Financial Man, where we tell stories. If the committee member has time, just find City Press. In fact, we'll give you a couple of some examples where I think they tell stories in a very simple way in which the ordinary people can reach. They give paragraphs, the people don't have this, but we'll give you some. Where in a page, you see a sector. Last week we did Texas. So we give all the states. How many, where, people, the numbers, and then give examples, one or two instances of some of those. There's real stories, because we said to the team, and we all agreed that we're going to do real stories, so that people can identify, can see that this is, contacting all this is lots of numbers, but they are real stories. So that's how we're going to reach. And we're going to now go down in terms of radio, so that we make sure that we reach as more and more people as possible. And the next step, then we'll go through local media.
That was my next question, whether are you going to community registration centers?
Yes,
that's where ordinary people are. They don't read those machines, as you just mentioned, some of them.
Yes, so, yeah, you pause.
Yeah, in terms of DCD, it was around also the skill issue, the ability of South Africa to really supply. For instance, they showed us a base upon which that long tower stands. It's imported from China. I know that you are talking of this refugee plant, fuel plant that is coming, but in the meantime, what is happening to ensure that we can be able to supply such input to the companies, try to improve the local supply. That's more or less what I was talking to, because yes, we've seen that percentage share, local share, is not as much as what is still importing from outside. If we can also look into that when we find it. Otherwise, I think I just want to thank you very much for your understanding, for coming, understanding our situation for today, and also for coming for this particular meeting. Your continuous professional way of handling things, I think you are continually making us proud as South Africa by the way you handle issues and the way you deal with issues. And I think you should continue doing so. Thank your people, all of them, the whole corporation for us, because through their commitment, dedication to their country, that they are able to do the work that they're doing. They're expecting more from yourself, but that doesn't mean we undermine what we're already doing. We can see what you're doing, and we are really appreciated to the country. And that's through your leadership of and the board. Okay, to members, thank you very much. There are those members who are headed to heaven. I wasn't here, I don't know who are those members. I think they'll be leaving very soon. So, otherwise, I'm sorry for the refreshments. I can't provide you with anything. Isn't it doesn't allow that in our culture, whenever people visit you, they give you even a glass of water, just give them something to show that you had somebody visiting you. Please pardon us for that, not out of our own making. Otherwise, for all of us, the media, PMC, thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you very much, Chair. As you chair the meeting, as I said, there's some products which we would leave for the committee members to experience for my lunch. In the something called an ice slush. That's for a product which has been designed or developed, sorry, with CSIR that shows